invite you to take your Bibles here this afternoon, or this morning. I don't know if it's afternoon yet or not, I guess. It's still morning, all right. I know I went a little longer last hour. Appreciate some of the feedback I heard on the message. It's one of those messages that was kind of hard to preach, but of course it's still the truth of God. But John chapter 5 here this morning, John chapter 5 verses 17 and following. I like not having a clock, actually. I don't know what time it is. I let the Holy Spirit tell me when I'm done. All right. All right. John chapter 5, verses 17 and following. Just by way of introduction, notice with me verses 16 through 18 here this morning. John chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, as we continue this the follow-up with the Lord healing the impotent man, the man who had not walked for 38 years. All right. So it was a powerful miracle. It says in John chapter 5, verse 14, after Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Now, verse 16 through 18. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, as I said last week, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who established the Sabbath for man. So he is not going to tell this man to do something in violation of God's law. What Jesus did was in violation of man's traditions. There's the key. There's the problem. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, their traditional laws of the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, I've entitled this message here this hour to equality with God as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Equality with God. Now, many religions today deny the equality of Jesus Christ with God the Father. They deny the eternal deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, Islam. Islam says that Allah has no son. Therefore, if you consider that, Allah and Jehovah are not the same God. Allah and the God of the Bible are not the same God. Because the God of the Bible had a son, an only begotten son named Jesus Christ. So again, Allah has no son. Jesus Christ, according to Islam, was a prophet less than Muhammad. That is blasphemy. Muhammad is taking a claim to be greater than the Son of God. That is blasphemous. The Oneness Pentecostals of our day say that there's one God, his name is Jesus, and he's portrayed himself three different ways. Now that's, as you consider Scripture, that is ridiculous, because here Jesus Christ talks about the Father, that there's a relationship between the Father and the Son. So again, Oneness Pentecostals are not accurate as far as Scripture. Now, liberals claim that Jesus never claimed to be God. That is ridiculous as we consider this passage. And it says in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The Jews of Jesus' day got it, but the liberals today deny that. Notice with me John chapter 8. I'll show you a couple other passages related to that. John chapter 8. Jesus Christ on more than one occasion claimed to be the Son of God. And the Jews wanted to kill him for it because of what they said was blasphemy. Now it says here, by the way, this is the context of Jesus saying to the religious leaders in verse 44 of John chapter 8, ye are of your father the devil. There's how you win friends and influence people. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, as we consider that context, notice verse 54 and following. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. What's Jesus saying? Okay, if I say that God the Father is not my Father, I'd be a liar. Of course, if he's a liar, then we still have no Savior, right? So notice he says very clearly here, God is my Father. I cannot say otherwise. Otherwise, I would be a liar. Verse 55, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. I'm sorry, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art now yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Excuse me. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, before Abraham was, what's the next two words? I am. I am. You know what he's claiming there? I am that I am. Exodus 3:14. Who was speaking to Moses in the burning bush? I am that I am. It's the Lord. Jesus Christ is claiming to be the I am of God of Exodus 3:14. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. John chapter 10, verse 30. John chapter 10, verse 30. Again, we see some very clear references here to Jesus Christ claiming to be the very Son of God. John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now, let me ask you, did the Jews get a very clear point that Jesus was claiming to be God? Absolutely. So much so that they wanted to stone him for blasphemy. So again, Jesus Christ clearly claimed to be equal with God the Father. Now, I want for us in this passage here this morning to consider the evidence for Christ's claims of equality with God. Now, John chapter 5, first of all, notice with me verses 17 and following. First of all, the witness of the Father. Jesus Christ says the witness of the Father is ample for me to make this claim that I am indeed the only begotten Son of God. Verse 17. First of all, Jesus does the work of the Father. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Notice what he's saying there. I am doing the exact work of my Father. Again, he's making this claim to be equal with God the Father. Not only in his work, but notice also, in verse 19, Jesus does the same things as the Father. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I want you to think about what Jesus is claiming there. What the Son seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these doeth the Son likewise. What do you think about that? Jesus Christ was claiming to be omniscient. I know what the Father is doing. How many of you know what God is doing right at this moment? That is a tall claim, what Jesus Christ is making there. I know exactly what the Father is doing, and so because of that, I act accordingly. I do the same things. We would say probably today that Jesus Christ was on the same page with God the Father. Jesus does the same things as the Father. Also, verse 20, it says, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. So we see the Father loves and reveals all things to the Son. Verse 21, both the Father and the Son have power over the dead. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The word quickeneth means to make alive. You hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. It means that that God is able to make us alive. He's able to make us bring life to our dead spirit. But as you think about the power over the dead, Jesus Christ proved that at least on three occasions. Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 8, it talks about him raising the dead. But I want you to notice with me John chapter 11. I want you to notice, according to Scripture, the last time he raised somebody from the dead. John chapter 11, verses 39 and following. Of course, this is when Lazarus was raised from the dead. John chapter 11, verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now, why did Jesus wait so long? If you do a study of that culture, you understand at least one reason why. The Jews believed that the soul actually stayed around the body for 3 days. So why did Jesus wait 2 days even to depart and go to be with Lazarus and his sisters? I believe because he wanted it to be obvious to the Jews around him that Lazarus was indeed dead. It wasn't just that his soul came back to his body. He was indeed dead. By this time, there was decay already settling into the body. It says in verse 40 then, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now I want you to notice what he prays here and why. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Notice he's praying to the Father so that everyone around him can hear him. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, why didn't he just say, come forth? Because all the dead would have come forth. That's exactly what's going to happen someday. He had to be very specific or there would be a mass resurrection. Notice it says here, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Now, pause there. I want you to consider what really is taking place in this text. I believe we need to put ourselves in this situation so that we understand. When you read the Bible that way, when you use your imagination to understand what's going on here, it brings the scripture alive. Now, the Jews buried the dead by wrapping them in a linen cloth. Now, let me ask you, if Lazarus is totally bound hand and foot, wrapped in a linen cloth, a long linen cloth, is he going to be walking out of the grave? No. I believe, as you look at this passage, Lazarus came floating out of the grave. Now, that would get somebody's attention, I would think. Notice Lazarus, after being dead 4 days, comes out of the grave. Notice he's bound bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin, so he wouldn't have even been able to see where he was walking. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. I wish everyone would. As I've already pointed out, miracles do not produce faith. Here's somebody raised from the dead and they still refuse to believe. Notice it says, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Have you heard what Jesus did now? He raised Lazarus from the dead. You look in the next chapter. Instead of believing, you know what they tried to do? Kill the evidence. They would much rather kill Lazarus than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing unbelief. The Father has committed committed all judgment to the Son. John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Why? That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. I want you to consider a couple of passages related to that. It says that God the Father committed all judgment to the Son. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. But you notice here what Paul says to the men of Athens as he's preaching them. He starts out by preaching about creation, God that made the world and all things therein. You see, people don't want a creator today because they don't want a judge someday. But Paul says this in Acts 17, verse 30. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, pause there just a moment. There's a lot of independent Baptist preachers even today that are saying that repentance is a work for salvation. The Bible very clearly says that God commandeth, it's a command, all men everywhere to what? Repent. Unless somebody repents, including those preachers, there is no salvation. Repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the requirements of conversion. It says again, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent because he hath appointed a day. There's a day for judgment in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. That fits John chapter 5. Jesus Christ is the one who's going to be seated on the great white throne judgment. Consider also Philippians chapter 2. Why does he commit all judgment to the Son? So that all men will honor him. Philippians chapter 2, in that passage, tells us how Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left the throne of heaven, lowered himself, took the form of a servant. But now he's been highly exalted. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness in the likeness of men. Now, let me pause there. I want you to notice verse 6 again. Jesus Christ did not think it robbery to be equal with God. Now, there are some who teach that Jesus Christ set aside his divine attributes when he became man. That is heresy. If he set aside his divine attributes, then he stopped being God. If he stopped being God, then we still have no Savior. It says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he was in the same form with God. He was the express likeness of God. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How low did he have to go? Here's the eternal Son of God who had to die on a cross. That amazes me. Wherefore, because of that, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Again it says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Why? That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Every knee will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone someday. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, there's a false teaching, you know, you must make Christ Lord. You can't make him Lord. He already is. God the Father is the one who made him Lord. You see, the key is we must recognize his lordship in our lives. Again, the Father has committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 24 of John chapter 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's the mercy of God. God has mercy and judgment, but the only way he shows mercy is when we believe on him. And it says it shall not come into condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. There is now no condemnation. God's mercy in judgment. Notice also his resurrection power in John chapter 5, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. His resurrection power. Jesus told Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He has power to raise the dead. Verse 26, as we consider this, he says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. I want you to really think about what Jesus is saying there. God the Father has allowed the Son, Jesus Christ, to have life in himself. Remember what Jesus said in regard to the crucifixion? He says, I lay down my life and take it up again. You think about that. Now, the Bible says that the Father raised him from the dead. The Holy Spirit gave him the power to rise from the dead. But the God, the three in one, Jesus Christ himself said that he has power to take up his life again. He is a self-existent God. That's an amazing statement. He says, I have life in myself. But also says Jesus has been given authority to judge. Again, he does not have created life. He's not been created. It says in verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, I want you to notice Daniel chapter 7. Where is he taking this title? Now, there are many who say that the Son of Man is proof that Jesus Christ was just a man. Now, this is a divine title that's taken from Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. I believe Jesus Christ, in reality, was the God-man. He was fully God. He was fully man. That's what's behind this title, Son of Man. And it says here in verse 9 and following of Daniel chapter 7, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now, who's the Ancient of Days? Who's that a reference to? Who's seated on the throne? God, all right? The Ancient of Days, that's it. He's the eternal God, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. Speaking of his wisdom. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now, how would you like to be present at this scene? Someday we're going to see this very throne. A fiery stream, issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. What does this sound like? Revelation chapter 20. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning burning flame. Again, Revelation 19 talks about when the beast and the false prophet are cast alive into hell. Verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beasts, these empires, these emperors, these rulers, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Again, Jesus said, God the Father hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. What's he doing there? He's claiming the title of Daniel chapter 7. Again, he's very clearly claiming to be equal with God. Then he talks about two coming resurrections, resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, wait a minute. I thought you weren't saved by being good. I believe the Bible very clearly groups all that together into one package. If I am saved, if I am regenerated, then I will produce good things. But there's two resurrections. There's only two resurrections that are possible. Resurrection of life, the resurrection of damnation. You want to make sure you're part of the first one. The resurrection of damnation is the raising of all unsaved dead of all time, as they stand before the great white throne, before they're cast into a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Hell is a real place. Jesus Christ talked more about hell than he did even heaven. Then I want you to consider also, in verses 30 and 31, Jesus will have just judgment because he does the will of his Father. John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. There is not one person who's going to stand before the Lord someday and say, well, that's not fair, that's not just, that's not right. Not one person will be able to do that. Why? The Bible says the books are going to be opened. The evidence is all going to be there. I don't know if you've seen the chick tract that we used to have. It's kind of windy out here, so we're kind of limited on the literature we're putting out, but I think it's entitled, This Was Your Life. And in that chick tract, it shows a man standing before God. He's an unbeliever standing before God someday. And all his life sins are revealed to him. He says, oh, no, not that. Oh, no, not that. All the evidence was there before he's cast into a lake of fire. Just judgment. But here's why he does just judgment. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Notice he's always doing the will of the Father. Now, as you consider this passage, Jesus is saying that the Father testifies of him, that he is the Son of God. Now, did the Jews accept that testimony? Now, I think it's amazing. God the Father accommodated them on more than one occasion. Some said it thundered as God spoke from the heavens. God the Father spoke audibly to his Son and they ignored it. There's the testimony of God the Father. But in verses 32 and following, there's also the witness of John the Baptist. It says in verse 32, there is another that beareth witness. All right, you won't accept the witness of the Father. So there's another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. I want you to notice with me, John chapter 1, we might be reminded here of the testimony that John the Baptist gave of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe it was not until the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember when Jesus presented himself for baptism to John the Baptist, it was not until that point that John the Baptist fully understood who the Messiah was going to be. It says in John chapter 1, verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." Now, who was born first, John or Jesus? John was. "And yet John recognized he was before me." Why? Because he knew Jesus was eternal. The Son of God is eternal. "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he, God, that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Evidently, that visible sign of the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus was partly for John the Baptist to understand who the Messiah was. And yet, I want you to consider what Jesus says here. Yes, John the Baptist is a testimony, a witness of who I am, but I have a greater witness than even John. Verse 36, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not." Notice their unbelief. Jesus had a greater witness than John. The works and the miracles confirmed who he was. God, he says, was the source of those miracles. Last of all, we have the witness of the Scriptures. It's very interesting here in verse 39. He says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they which testify of me." The Word of God, the Scriptures, testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this morning I left a little earlier so I could go down and grab the mail down at the post office. So because I was down there early, had a chance to see several of the so-called churches right around the post office there, the people gathering for their services. I tell you, and I stand here today based on the authority of the Word of God, based on what I know those places teach, most of those so-called churches down there are damning souls to hell. Because they're teaching something other than what this book says. I want you to see what Jesus said to these Jews. See it, notice it again. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." Now, they think they have eternal life. They think they're going to be saved. In fact, they even pull a verse out of context to prove what they believe. There's the key. It's pulled out of context. These Jews thought they had eternal life. Jesus said, "You think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." Let me say it this way. Unless the teaching leads people to Jesus Christ, it is a damnable heresy. Those so-called churches teach a works-based salvation, that you have to do something in order to be saved. What are these Jews doing? Oh, they're searching the Old Testament Scriptures, and they're, quote-unquote, keeping the law in order to be saved. Jesus says, "You think you have eternal life." But again, if the Word of God, the teaching of the Scriptures do not... the teaching of the Scriptures leads somebody to Jesus Christ. So again, they don't have eternal life if they're not trusting in Jesus Christ alone. It says in verse 40, "They refused to believe. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." There's the whole key. They refuse to believe in Jesus Christ alone. That's the key. They refuse to believe in Jesus Christ alone. You know, if somebody stands up and says, you have to be baptized in order to be saved, that is a damnable heresy. They refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you the reality of that. If God the Father sent His Son to die on a cross to shed His blood, and then He says, you have to do such and such in order to be saved, wasn't that kind of foolish of God the Father? You still have to do something in order to be saved. No, all you have to do is receive what Jesus Christ has already done in payment. But again, the whole key was a refusal to believe. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Verse 41, I receive not honor from men, but I know you. Notice, he's omniscient. I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Oh, they claim to love God. A religious person claims to love God, but in reality they did not love God. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Now, what I think is interesting in history, because the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, their Messiah, they opened themselves up to welcoming all kinds of messiahs after that. There were all kinds of false messiahs that were raised up in Israel after Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven. I think it's interesting. The ultimate end, you know what's going to happen? The Jews will receive Antichrist in his own name. Notice what Jesus says. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. You won't receive the Messiah that's already come. I'm coming in God the Father's name. You won't receive me. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. I want you to notice what he's doing here. He's taking the scriptures that they supposedly trusted in and turning it back on them. By the way, that's exactly what we are to do with a false religion. When they talk about so-called what the Bible says and their false doctrines, we better know the Bible enough to turn it right back to them and to tell them the truth. They need to know what this book really says about Jesus Christ. He says, there's one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Genesis through Deuteronomy. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Now, I think it's interesting, just a few pages back from there, Luke chapter 24. Jesus was talking to his disciples in this point, but I want you to consider that the Old Testament very clearly pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of them missed it. They missed it very badly. It says in Luke 24, verse 25 through 27, as he's dealing with his disciples and their unbelief, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By the way, that's expository teaching, what I try to do on Sunday mornings. They thought they had salvation. The law of Moses condemned them. The law of Moses told them about Jesus Christ, but they refused to believe. Now, what I think is interesting, it says, had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. I made a list of various things from the Old Testament, just the first five books of the Bible. Think about the ark with the flood. That was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The deliverance from the judgment to come. I think also of the offering of Isaac on Mount Moriah. The powerful picture with that. That was the same place that the temple would be built later. Mount Moriah. Also the Passover lamb of Exodus 12. The Passover lamb was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The manna in the wilderness, we'll see in John chapter 6, Jesus Christ was the quote-unquote bread from heaven. The manna pictured the Lord Jesus Christ and his sufficiency. The water from the rock, capital R. The serpent on the pole. Illustration after illustration after illustration. Moses spoke very clearly of the Lord Jesus Christ and they missed it. Notice verse 47. If ye believe not his writings, Moses' writings, how shall ye believe my words? To reject the writings of Moses makes faith in Christ impossible. Now that concerns me because you think about some of the liberal scholars of our day. They attack Genesis in particular, but Genesis through Deuteronomy, they attack it. They refuse to believe it. I remember talking to a man who was a member of a Baptist church. He believed that the story of Abraham was a parable. It was not a true story. Many deny the reality of the creation account. What did Jesus say again? If ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? I believe as you consider what Jesus says in this passage, if somebody denies the reality of the Old Testament, they've denied the possibility of salvation. Because if you can't believe the writings of Moses, Jesus says, how can you believe my words? Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I am equal, totally equal with God the Father. Now, as I've studied down through this passage, I think it's amazing that no one seemed to interrupt Jesus for this entire discussion. They were ready to kill Jesus because he had dishonored the Sabbath. And yet, for how many verses? There doesn't seem to be anyone who interrupts him. And you look at the next chapter, it's just like he just walks away from it. It's almost like these religious leaders sat there in stunned silence as their Messiah told them who he really was. You know what's sad about it? They sat in stunned silence but refused to believe. They heard the truth. They had the Son of God present with them. And they ended up crucifying him. Jesus claimed to be equal with God the Father. And let me just say here today, if you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone, I cannot offer you any hope for eternity. I have heard preachers who say that they, at a funeral, preach somebody into heaven. The problem with that is if they have denied the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, there is no hope. That's the reality of it. To miss this truth brings eternal damnation. What did Jesus say to avoid that? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I'm thankful for the hope of the believer. I'm thankful for the blessed hope that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is our only way of hope. He's our only source of hope. If you have by chance not placed your faith in Jesus Christ today, please, please, don't even leave this place until you're sure. Just like that, we could be in eternity. The religious people miss the point. And that's exactly what happens with religion. They miss who Jesus Christ really is. Father, thank you for the truth that you've given to us about your Son in your Word. And Father, I pray that if by chance someone here today does not know Christ as Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, to miss this truth is to miss it for all of eternity if they die in that state. Father, that's a serious issue. And Lord, I pray for those of us who know Christ as Savior today that we would understand the claims of Jesus Christ. Father, all these false religions in this area have damnable heresies related to Jesus Christ. Have a false understanding who Jesus really is. Lord, help us to be ready. Lord, that's what the Gospel of John was all about. To answer the false teachings that were coming into the churches even in the first century. Lord, help us to be ready with answers about who Jesus Christ really is. the very Son of God, equal with God the Father. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.